KFFB is 106.1 FM. This is Bob Connell thanking you for joining us for day number three of our open mic program with Congressman Vic Snyder. And remember, go to KFFB.com and hear all the open mic programs. And Congressman, thanks so much for taking time and talking with us again.
Sure.
Well, I noticed that you are on a lot of committees. You do a lot of committee work, and when there's committees, that means there's a lot of meetings. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the committees.
You know, I think most members of Congress spend the majority of their time working on things related to their committee work. It's how our process works. You become better versed and more knowledgeable about things you spend most time on. And so many of these things are so complex. If you don't do it through a committee process, you have a whole lot of people that know a little bit about a lot of things, and then not many people knowing a lot about, you know, a few topics. And the committee process helps us get more knowledgeable in specific areas. I'm on three committees. I'll talk briefly about the first two and then maybe more about the third one. Most recently, I was put on the Joint Economic Committee. And this is a committee that I've just been on about a year. It is a joint committee, meaning it's composed of both Senate and House members. It does not have any legislative jurisdiction, so it's an opportunity for members to get together with a staff that can do research and talk about, through the formal hearing process, talk about specific issues challenging the American economy. And, of course, this last year has been very significant. So it has been a chance to talk about things like what's going on with the housing industry, what's going on with the TARP program, where do we see things going in the future. There's a formal legal requirement that whenever the unemployment numbers are released, they have to be presented formally and publicly to the Joint Economic Committee. So, you know, once a month we have those kinds of discussions. So that's one committee that I participate in. I'm also on the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and I've been on that committee since 1997. And as a, you know, former Marine and a Vietnam veteran, I've really enjoyed that work. Also, as a family practice doctor, I both as a medical student and as a resident, I trained at two different Veterans Administration hospitals. So I'm a big believer in the VA system. And so this is just, we talk about veterans and veterans issues and funding and how do we do all these things. And probably the most significant issue we've done lately has been the GI Bill. I think we've made a substantial improvement in the GI Bill to help our veterans coming back from the Iraq and Afghanistan war. And then the third committee I'm on, which I spend probably the majority of my time, is the House Armed Services Committee. And in fact, I'm the chairman of the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigation. And so you just think about this last decade or so, you know, all the things that have been going on from Bosnia to Kosovo to the tragedy of September 11, 2001, to what happened in Afghanistan, to our war in Iraq, the ongoing war against terror. There just been these tremendous challenges for our country and for the world. And the Armed Services Committee works on those issues all the time. We do one big bill a year, which is the defense bill. And so a whole lot of issues get, you know, merged into that one big bill, and we have, you know, we pass it out of the House, and then we go to conference, and we get the final version. And we just did that recently, the final version of the defense bill. But all the hearings and the work through the year then kind of focus and target getting that one big defense bill out a year. And so that it has been, I don't know, very gratifying, challenging, humbling as a former military person to realize how difficult some of these challenges are, and yet you have men and women and their families out there depending on you to make the right decision. But Arkansans care about our veterans, they care about our military, they care about our military families, and I have found it a really good experience to be part of the House Armed Services Committee.
When you look at the House Armed Services or even the Committee on Veterans Affairs, when we look at our veterans, do you think there's always needs, and sometimes we lose sight that really, they should be the most honored on Veterans Day. You know, they're in Conway. They have a big veterans with Ed's Bakery, and we do a live broadcast. But it's honoring those veterans. And when you sit and talk, not just war stories, but their life stories, I mean, shouldn't we show honor? And that should be the first priority of us as Americans, as taxpayers?
You know, the number one priority of a nation is their national security, is to keep the people safe. And the folks that do that are men and women in uniform. They have the primary responsibility for that. And when you honor the veterans and our military retirees and the people in uniform, we also need to honor their families because they pay the sacrifice too. Raising families when you have somebody deployed for a year or longer, raising children when people are coming and going, the frequent moves at a military base, the threat, I mean, the physical threat to the person overseas and what that means for a family who see all the time the news and know that people have been lost and, you know, could that be daddy next time? I mean, the kinds of things most of us don't have to think about. So, yeah, I agree with you, Bob. We not only need to honor them, but we need to remember them and make sure we're doing everything we can to keep them safe, to have the best policies, to be thoughtful about the decisions we make in national security, and be sure they have the support they need, both while they're in the military, but also after they get out and are veterans or retirees.
Well, when you look at the veterans, though, what do you think is something, maybe it's a shortcoming for them now that you're working on? What is something that we need to be working as a nation for the veterans?
I think we're doing okay with a lot of the things people think about in terms of veterans' health care system, the GI Bill, the education benefits, those kinds of things. But we still have some things we need to work on. Our country does not have an adequate system of counseling and mental health services. I mean, there are a lot of rural areas that just don't have the kinds of providers there to meet those needs. And so we need to work on that. We still have a lot of work to do in medical research to have the best technology to help people with some of these terrible war wounds that they receive. We still have an issue with the frequency of deployments. We need to be sure that we have the right number of troops so that folks that are deployed are not deployed so long that they decide not to reenlist in the military. That is a factor in our national security. So just a series of things like that we need to work on. Our TRICARE health care program for the military and for our retirees, I think, is an excellent one. But we still have issues of how do you pay for it? And we need to be sure, you know, as we're talking about health care reform, I think we will learn some things about how we can make our TRICARE system more efficient, provide the same level of service or maybe even better, but figure out a way to do it with less expense long term, because it's the most rapidly growing part of the defense budget is our health care budget.
When you look at veterans' hospitals, why is there a difference from state to state? Some states just have brand new, phenomenal care, and then other states it seems like it's a little lagging. Is that something that actually falls under the umbrella of the national government?
Well, and the veterans' health care system is a national system, but it's the old thing, you know. Somewhere in this country right now, and I don't know where it is the newest veterans' hospital, and somewhere in this country is the oldest veterans' hospital in terms of infrastructure. And then you also have the issue not just in terms of age, but also in terms of shifting populations, because we have some areas of the country that the growth in population has either slowed or they've actually had losses of population, and other areas of the country that have been attractive to veterans. And so we've had more people and more veterans move in there, and we've had facilities that they're really a challenge in terms of meeting the needs with the size of their hospital. We also have areas of the country that are very rural, where you have to drive a long dang ways to get anything. And when you have veterans, particularly our older veterans, and their nearest hospital is 100 or 150 or 200 miles away, that's pretty challenging for somebody to have to make that kind of drive to see their doctor. So we've been working on ways of having better alternatives in those very rural areas so people can have health care. In Arkansas, we have some community-based outpatient clinics, so veterans don't have to drive either to Fayetteville or Little Rock to get care, and that has been helpful. But we feel responsibility for the healthcare system in all the states, not just in our own state. And I think the Veterans Committee works very hard at listening to each other about what the needs are in the different states.
That is something, and many veterans don't even take advantage of that. And that's something that maybe we should be letting know if you're a veteran to contact your office about how to getting into that system.
I think a lot of veterans do, Bob. I mean, I think there is a pretty good network out there, and has been through the years. Veterans know veterans. They listen to veterans. They, you know, there's a lot of scuttlebutt that goes back and forth about, okay, what doctor should you see, and, you know, what day is the best day to go. I mean, I think people really do share a lot of information. The veteran service organizations are an informal network that help get that information out there. I don't think there's a lot of veterans that flat out just don't know there's a veterans hospital system. There clearly are veterans that are apprehensive about, you know, going to any place. And so we know we have too many homeless veterans. We know we have some veterans that really have isolated themselves from the rest of us and are not very eager to seek out health care. and we continue to try to figure out ways of dealing with those problems. Secretary Shinseki, the new Secretary of Veterans Affairs, testified last week before our committee, and he talked about some of those issues. How do you reach out to people that to tell them that we have this system set up to help them? We know they know it's out there, but they, for whatever reasons, have been hesitant to participate in the system. We need to reach those guys if they have needs.
Well, Congressman, as always, thanks so much for talking with us all this week. And I always have to ask this now, since you have a house full of kids, tell us a little bit what's going on with the family.
Well, they're just thriving. The three little triplet boys are now 10 months old. And, a couple of them, one of them's crawling all over and pulling up stuff. And one of them's learning to crawl. And the third one seems to be content sitting and watching his brothers fall. But they're all, we feel so blessed, because they were premature. About 6.5 weeks, but they seem to be just thriving intellectually and emotionally and physically. They're stout little guys now. They're pretty hefty little guys. And our 3.5-year-old, he seems to put up with it all, although clearly he's not getting as much attention as he used to. But he's figured out that these guys are actually getting fun to play with. So, I was a late-in-life daddy. And so for all the parents out there, I suspect they can commiserate with being a new parent at age 62.
That's right.
I'm not sure that's the recommended life choice, but that's what has worked out for me. It is almost a late in life, incredible blessing, and my wife and I recognize it for the blessing that it is.
That is awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking time and
joining
us here.
Anytime.
KFFB 106.1 FM, thanks so much for joining us for another edition of our Open Mic program. Remember, you can go to kffb.com and hear all the Open Mic programs. That's kffb.com. Click on the button, Open Mic. Thanks for joining us.